Tech It For Me is an independent and solo-produced podcast.
Welcome to the Tech It For Me podcast. I'm Mike Madol. Mark Zuckerberg just dropped what might be the most ambitious and controversial vision for the future of AI we've seen yet. Not a single all-powerful general intelligence ruling from the cloud, but personalized superintelligences, one for every person. That's right, instead of one ChatGPT for the masses, Zuck wants each of us to have our own AI. One that knows you, works for you, and evolves with you. So what does that mean? How does it differ from what Apple, OpenAI, or Google are doing? And is this brilliant innovation or a new kind of technology control? This is the Tech It For Me podcast. Let's go.
This is the Tech It For Me podcast.
Last week, Meta absolutely crushed its earnings report. They've been on a hiring spree, stocks up, and the momentum is back. And Zuckerberg used that moment to post what he called a kind of AI manifesto, a bold vision for where he believes AI is headed. So here's the core idea. Rather than a single, centralized general intelligence, he wrote, we'll each have AIs that are smart enough to help us in every area of our lives, coaching, teaching, creating, planning, memory, reasoning. In other words, not one AI handing down wisdom, but a superintelligence tailored to you. Your own personal agent, not just answering questions, but anticipating your needs, learning your preferences, and acting on your behalf. He also took a stance that raised some eyebrows. We've released our models as open source up until now, he said, but going forward, we're no longer doing that because of safety. That's a massive pivot. Meta was previously one of the biggest backers of open source AI with their Llama models, but now they're locking it down. We'll talk more about that later. Let's talk about why Zuckerberg's idea of personal superintelligence is such a big deal, and why it's different from the kind of AI we're all used to right now. When most people think of AI today, they think of something like ChatGPT or Google Gemini or Microsoft Copilot. You type in a question, and it gives you an answer. Maybe it remembers a little context from your chat window, but really that's about it. You're interacting with what I'd call a public AI, or a shared intelligence. It knows a lot about the world, but nothing about you, unless you feed it your story every time you start a new conversation. So now, imagine the opposite. Imagine an AI that doesn't just answer your questions, it knows your entire context. It knows your job, your calendar, your goals, relationships, health data, your writing style, financial habits, even your stress levels if it's tied into your wearables, for instance. We're not talking about a smart assistant here. We're talking almost about a digital twin, an AI that's not just smart, but deeply personalized. So let me give you a few examples of what this could look like in real life. Let's say you're preparing for a quarterly review meeting. Your personal AI already knows the KPI trends from your dashboards. It knows which metrics matter to your VP, what your team's been working on, and which pain points you've flagged in past meetings. Without you even asking, it preps a talking points document, it'll generate charts, and even coaches you on how to position certain risks based on previous board reactions. That's not a chatbot. That's proactive augmentation. Or let's say you're juggling family life, group chats, work emails, and maybe a side hustle. Your AI could prioritize your notifications in real time based on urgency and emotional tone. Hey Mike, this WhatsApp message from your daughter looks time sensitive. The client email can wait. It's a routine check-in. This is where AI moves from being a passive tool to an active partner. It starts to act with intent on your behalf. Now, I know this sounds exciting, and really it is, but here's the flip side. this level of personalization depends on incredible access to your private data, your messages, your calendar, your voice, your files, maybe even biometric information. And here's the uncomfortable truth. No AI can be truly personal without being deeply intrusive. This is where trust becomes critical. Are we willing to give one company, like Meta, that level of access? What happens if that AI is compromised or misused? What if the AI starts nudging you in ways that benefit them more than you? From an IT leadership perspective, I've spent decades evaluating systems, not just on their capabilities, but on their risk profiles as well. This model, while powerful, introduces a brand new category of risk, in my opinion. The upside is huge, don't get me wrong, but so is the surface area for manipulation, for surveillance, or just plain mistakes. That said, if we can get the balance right between personalization and protection, usefulness and ethics, this idea has the potential to be the most transformative leap in computing since the smartphone. Because at the end of the day, personalized AI isn't just about convenience. It's about how we interface with the digital world. It's about giving every person on the planet a custom lens through which they understand and interact with information. And that's truly a future worth paying attention to. All right, let's zoom out for a second and talk about how Meta's vision compares to what the other tech giants are doing. Because make no mistake, this isn't just a philosophical difference. This is a battle for the future of human-computer interaction. It's Apple, Microsoft, Google, Meta, and of course, OpenAI, all taking very different roads towards AI dominance. Let's break down where each of the big five stands today. Zuckerberg's play is bold. Everyone gets their own super AI, something intelligent enough to help with anything in your life, built on Meta's infrastructure embedded into its apps. So it's ambient, integrated into WhatsApp, Messenger, Instagram, Threads. It would be personal. It learns from your data. It would be proactive. It doesn't wait for you to ask. It starts to act on your behalf. And it's no longer open source, Meta locking it down, citing safety concerns. So Meta wants to own the relationship layer between you and your AI across all of its platforms. It's the ultimate data flywheel. And if they can pull it off, they don't just win AI. They redefine what social media, communication, and productivity even looks like. So let's talk now about Microsoft. Their strategy is different. It's not about building one AI for everyone, and it's definitely not about creating an AI to live in your Instagram feed. Microsoft is betting big on the idea of copilots. Copilot for Word, Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint, Teams, Dynamics. They're not trying to reinvent how we live, they're just simply upgrading how we work. They've turned the entire Office suite into a front end for GPT-4. And thanks to their deep investment in OpenAI, Microsoft has a significant edge in enterprise AI adoption. They've embedded LLMs into the tools that millions of businesses already use every day. This is truly a top-down approach. Start with the workplace, win trust, and eventually expand into consumer life. And from a monetization perspective, Microsoft is already turning this into real revenue. Copilot licenses aren't cheap, and that's simply by design. So then there's Google. Google's approach has been a bit, well, chaotic, if I'm being honest. They've had Bard, now Gemini, with Gemini 1.5 showing real promise. But what's Google's core focus? AI as an enhancement to search, an upgrade to workspace, and an invisible layer on Android and Chrome. They want AI to be everywhere in the Google ecosystem, but they haven't fully committed to personalization the way that Meta has. They're still grappling with how to integrate AI without cannibalizing their cash cow, search advertising. So while they're technically strong, they are strategically cautious. Apple has stayed mostly quiet until recently, but WWDC 2025 changed that. They introduced Apple Intelligence, a very Apple take on AI. It runs on-device where possible, it's personalized but private, and it integrates with Siri, Messages, Mail, and beyond. And here's the kicker. They've partnered with OpenAI to let ChatGPT handle more complex tasks, but only with explicit user permission. Apple's playing a trust-first game. They're betting that consumers don't just want AI, they want ethical, privacy-respecting AI. And in a world where your AI could know your thoughts, preferences, and medical history, that trust matters. Finally, there is OpenAI. They're still the poster child for modern AI. Their mission is to build AGI, Artificial General Intelligence, that benefits all of humanity. They've pioneered GPT-4 and now GPT-4o, voice mode, memory, custom GPTs, and a rapidly growing API ecosystem. Their strength is technical excellence and pace of innovation. But here's the thing, OpenAI is not a platform. They don't have a native OS, a phone, an email app, or a calendar. They rely on partners like Microsoft, and increasingly, they're trying to build their own ecosystem. What's the risk? They could get squeezed out by the giants who do own the platforms. So what makes Meta's approach stand out is the intensity of the personalization. They're not just giving you tools. They want to give you companions, and they want those companions to live on platforms you already use 5 to 10 times a day. If Microsoft is building the new AI-powered Office, and Apple is building the privacy-first AI phone, Meta wants to build the AI friend group. Always present, always watching, and always helping. From an IT leadership perspective, I see real promise in all of these approaches, but also real fragmentation as well. If every company builds their own AI silo, we risk recreating the same old platform lock-in, only this time with models instead of operating systems. It's fascinating and slightly unsettling moment in technology right now. The only question is, whose vision is going to win? So a question top of mind is, what happened to the open source approach? Meta used to be one of the biggest champions of open source AI. Their Llama models were released openly, fueling tons of innovation from startups and researchers. But now Zuckerberg says they're walking that back. Why? In his words, the models are getting so powerful that we need to start treating them more like nuclear material. We don't want bad actors using them. So on the surface, that makes sense. Nobody wants scammers or any other malicious actors using advanced AI to cause chaos. But let's be honest, there's also a business incentive here. Locking down your most advanced models means you take control. You control the value. You own the distribution, and you monetize the access. And while that may be good for shareholders, it's less clear whether it's good for the broader AI ecosystem. The tension between innovation and safety, between openness and control, that debate is heating up. And in my opinion, Zuckerberg just threw gas on that fire. So what happens next? Let's imagine you have your own personal AI. Maybe it lives in your phone, maybe in your augmented reality glasses. Maybe it talks to you through your smart speaker. who's ready for a chip embedded maybe into their cerebral cortex of your brain? Your personal AI knows your routines. It answers emails. It suggests life decisions. It becomes your digital twin or even your digital boss. Do we really want that? Or more importantly, do we trust the company behind it? Zuckerberg says this isn't about replacing human work or handing over control. He says the goal is to augment us, not automate us. And maybe he's right. But when the richest people in the world start talking about super intelligence for everyone, we need to ask, is this empowerment or entrenchment? Because one thing is for sure, personalized AI will shape how we work, live, learn, and connect in the coming decade. Meta just put their flag in the ground. Zuckerberg's AI manifesto might sound like science fiction, but it's closer than you think. The infrastructure is already here. The models are already in training. And the personalization? Well, that part's just a matter of data. So the real question isn't if we'll have our own AI, it's who will own the AI that knows us best. If this episode made you think or rethink your view on artificial intelligence, share it with a friend, a coworker, or someone who still thinks Meta is just the Facebook company. And as always, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and check out techitfromme.com for more episodes, blog articles, and transcripts of past episodes as well. This has been the Tech It For Me podcast. Thank you for listening.
Tech It For Me is an independent and solo-produced podcast.